This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Hello everyone, thanks for joining the To Hull and Back podcast sponsored by Old Zoological Bar. Also, we are partnered with Goals TV. Use the code THAB at the checkout to sign up for that for free. I'm your host Nathaniel Witto, and tonight I'm joined by Will and Ant for an action-packed, exciting extravaganza episode to end the season with all its ups and downs. So it's the 2022-2023 season review. So you hyped to get into this?
Yeah.
Well, it's been a pretty good season, hasn't it? With lots of signings and same amount of games as usual, but lots. So there's lots to talk about. Yes. If we the season from November or whenever Vecinia or Dawson came in, it's been quite exciting. And then the first few games were pretty good. Really, the whole season, we say the first part was bad, but there was like a, from maybe game 7 or 8 to about game 12, we were rubbish, but that whole period just sort of killed the momentum and all the injuries were rubbish as well.
We weren't even that great when we were like joint top of the table after 5 games, because the performances were still quite poor. We just somehow came out in games with wins. It was weird, because I remember us actually saying on the pod episodes after them that, yeah, we were winning games, but there were some signs that
chaos.
We just weren't creating enough. Yeah, we didn't look good enough. So even then, but like we said, positive season overall, so let's forget about that bit.
Yeah. Well, before we get into the whole season review, there are 2 bits of news regarding Hull City's 2 sort of the centre-back pairing that is preferred at the moment. Alfie Jones, new contract until 2026. Excellent news. We've had a few new contracts for some players over the last few seasons, and it's always nice to see it, because a long time in the Alam period, we didn't give new contracts to anyone, really, otherwise, unless it was just a year extension. So Jones, new contract, that's just very good, isn't it?
Of course it is.
Absolutely great stuff.
Great stuff. Is there anything else to say? I think this was fairly... I mean, he's very good, but I think Greaves is the one that you look at sort of other teams perhaps wanting to sign. I mean, maybe Jones, with the form he's been in this season, should be on other teams' radars, although we'll, of course, say he's rubbish and no one should sign him. I guess I don't think there's ever been many links for any other clubs coming in to get him, so not that surprising. And another thing that was a surprise throughout the season, with the form of the other centre-back, Sean McLaughlin, was that he hasn't played for Ireland, but he's got his first international call-up. I'm not sure what games those are for. But it'll be very interesting to see how he does for Ireland, because we always have a good Irish contingent at the club, and his form again has deserved a call up, hasn't it?
Yeah, he's deserved it earlier, to be fair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he should have had it long ago.
Yeah, it's a shame that Christie and Connolly are injured. Otherwise, they'd probably all be playing in the team together. And yeah. I think, you know, having that link for Ireland and for us would really help. But unfortunately, it's just going to be McLaughlin. And but then another bit of positive news is that today, Agin and the club released the pricing structure for next season with the memberships. And everyone's delighted that they're still very, very cheap, very, very good, sensible prices. I'm not sure of the numbers, but
they've frozen prices for adults, I believe, reduced ticket prices for, is it concessions and OAPs, and then made 8 or 10 year olds free, and then obviously they've opened West Stand Upper, which means that they're hoping for 20,000 crowds again next year, and N5, so the bit next to the away fans that's usually empty, so it's good because they're obviously planning on having quite a lot of fans back, and it's good because the last few games of the season we obviously saw quite a few high crowds, and hopefully they've managed to lure quite a large number of those back. I think we mentioned it last time, didn't we? But it'd be nice to see obviously the stadium at least 18,000-19,000 as an average every week, steady numbers increasing. So yeah, well done to Agin for keeping those prices down, because it's probably very tempting in today's climate to increase them. But
Yeah, I think it'll, those extra attendances will definitely help the team and probably the finances, because I imagine that having all of the, you know, those empty seats under the AM period wasn't very financially positive for the club. Yeah, hopefully if we could get that 20,000 as an average, as we've had in the last few games, that would be excellent going into next year. But at least we always knew it was going to take a few years for those attendances to get back. But you know, they've started to come back, so hopefully going into the new season, they'll continue. So anything else to mention about that, or shall we just crack on with a review of all of our many, many transfers this season?
Let's crack on.
Well, thank you very much for everyone who voted in the polls we put out on Twitter. Sort of question you had to answer was, for each player, have they been a success, a flop, or is the jury still out? I mean, I think that's a bit of a cop-out. You should just have a success or a flop, but I'm not the one who did the polls.
Some of them, you can't say that for happy in a cop-out.
Yeah, but you can't sit on the fence. That's, you know, you're going to have...
That's too black and white.
But we're a podcast. We need the controversy for the clicks, surely.
Well, you can have that, but that's not realistic.
Yeah, well, I'm going to say the jury's still out on everyone, because, you know, they could still go on to be very good players, or rubbish, perhaps some of them. But yeah, the first, we're just doing it for the transfers this season. How many did we have? Is it 20 or 18 or something like that?
It was too many, because when I was doing the tweets for every player, I regretted doing it after about 7 of them.
Well, because you've put a little sort of description for each one.
Yeah, and, I tried to find different words at the beginning of it, and I was like, I've run out of things to say.
You got the flag emojis for the first few, and then it was just, and then there's thingy.
You can see,
and then another one.
Because I just had to keep saving it as a draft and coming back to it, because I couldn't remember which player I'd said and who we had actually had signed. And no, it was a nightmare. We've signed too many players this year.
Well, yeah, it doesn't feel like we actually signed the first player on here, Ozan Tufan, this year. It feels like he's been at the club for ages, because it's just been a very hectic season. But he was the first player we asked people to vote for, and 81% said he was a success and 2% flop. So I think...
That'll be a Dan Gosling.
Oh, exactly.
That was that flop vote.
Yes, Dan Gosling created various accounts to just vote Tufan as a flop. Probably a very good season for him as well. Most goals he's ever scored in a season. We did pay, was it £2 or 3 million for him? And we only started to see that sort of pay off later on in the year. But under Rossini, along with a lot of other players, Rossini's been able to get the best out of him. So, Tufan's had a very successful year this year. I think there's still room for him to grow next year, isn't there? And maybe get a few more starts. So it's just sort of starting more games and really, you know, having that space in the starting 11 every week. That's what you should be aiming for next year, right?
Pretty much.
The, I think the thing is with Ozan, and the exciting thing about Ozan is that I still don't think we've seen the best that he has to offer.
Because no, we haven't.
I think the start of the season, I don't think he was fully fit, and then the Avaladze system didn't suit him. And then, obviously, when Rosinha came in, there wasn't, you know, his effort levels improved, his tracking back improved, you know, his willingness to work off the ball certainly got a lot better. But I think personally his best position from what we've seen is that false nine that we're currently using, but yeah. I don't think we'll be using next season. So it'd be interesting to see what happens with Ozan next season. But I am excited to see, obviously, what he can do with a full Liam Rosinha pre-season under his belt, and obviously a year of being comfortable at a new club now that I can imagine from his recent interviews he enjoys being here. So should mm-hmm. be a good season for him.
Yeah. Well, the second of the 21 signings we made this year, which is almost, you could have two, you know, teams play against each other of the chancellors we've signed this season. The second of them voting was Mike Asseri, 94% success, 3% flop, 3% jury still out. I mean,
who are the 3% who said flop?
Yeah, or even who didn't know about him, because he's been here all year. It's been incredible.
You never know, but flop.
Yeah, free signing, you know, I guess we're paying his wages, which must be quite considerable. But even as a free signing, to play that amount of games, even if it was pretty rubbish, I think, you know, it was still a success because he's been such an important player for us. I mean, and I think without him, we couldn't play the way Rossini would want to, or at least not to anywhere near the level that we have been doing. So, yeah, I mean, it's still amazing that he's at the club, that we were able to get him signed in the first place. And I think he's shown why, you know, with that sort of playing out from the back system, why we're paying so much for him. So, yeah, very surprising that some people said a flop. Here's one that's probably a little bit more debatable. Aliyar Syed Manesh, 59% jury still out. However, many more people said it was a success than a flop. Of course, we had him last year. Has he sort of lived up to the hype of last year?
No, but I think that's because of injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Really hampered him.
I think we're going to say that with about half these players, aren't we?
Probably, yeah.
If it weren't for injury, he'd definitely be a success, or we'd know. I mean, I guess we still don't know what his best position is, and I think he would have been quite an expensive player as well. We actually spent money on him. So, yeah, to not get the amount of games out of him that we would have liked, probably, you know, not the best transfer, but I think he's still a very young player. Is he 21, 22?
Yeah, he's still one for the future, isn't he? So it's like, the thing is with Aliyar, I would agree with the jury still out, sort of the perspective on that, because like we say, we've not really seen, I don't think, what he, again, has fully to offer, because he's not had enough consecutive. I know he had a good run under Rosinha towards the end of the season. But we forget that he's still young, and I think his end product is the bit he needs to work on his game, because he seems to have everything else. He runs non-stop. He likes to track back and defend. He's very good at getting past his fullback and into the box, and then just from that point onwards, he doesn't seem to go very well. He sometimes shoots when he should pass and passes when he should shoot, kind of thing. But that'll come with time. You know, maybe he's trying to be a bit over elaborate in what he's doing, because he feels like he's missed out on a bit of time. But I do think that Aliyar will come good eventually. I do think it's a signing that is a very good one to make, because, you know, 2 or 3 years down the line, he might be, you know, absolutely undroppable. But that's why I'd say jury's still out. He's still got time, hasn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd agree with that. Up next, we've got Dokan Sinic, who's currently on loan at Antalya Spor in Turkey. 1% said... Yes, 1% said he was a success. Who's saying that? I mean, a success for, you know, Antalya Spor. He's scored a few goals there. 74% flop, 25% jury still out. I guess because he has got a few goals on loan at Turkey from January onwards. Maybe he'll come back into the side and with the full pre-season, but it's very likely that we are just going to sell him and get the money on
Rossini
would prefer.
I don't think he ever really wanted to be here, to be honest. He always seemed homesick, or he came across as that.
Yeah, I think Tufan, out of the Turkish players we signed, has probably adapted better to England than Sinic did.
And he already had experience here.
Yeah, so it makes it much more easy. But I don't think it's been that bad for his career, and hopefully he can go on and be a very successful player elsewhere. But I don't think it's going to work out for us. And he was another player we spent money on. So to say that we've already done the three signings that we did for transfer fees, and two of them haven't really been worked out, I guess our recruitment, when we're actually spending money, hasn't been that good this season.
We've technically got one of each, haven't we? The three we paid for a fee for, one's a success. One still is yet to get to that level, and one just, you know, didn't really work out.
I think most of most of our free signings, I think, went very well. We'll definitely have to spend our money wiser when hopefully we recoup it from Cynic this summer. So the next, I think this might be the one that's had the most percentage for flop, Tobias Figueiredo. 5% success, I assume that's just people joking.
I get the impression that someone went down and voted on the obviously least obvious one on purpose.
But awful. I think that's the only word we could use to describe his time here.
Horrendous. The thing is with Figs, it is, I've said this for ages, it confused me as a signing, because even under Avaladze, we were apparently going to be playing this, high tempo attacking play out from the back kind of play. And if that's the case, then why did we sign a centre half that can't do it? It just doesn't make sense to me. If that's the style of play you're going for, you sign players to fit that mould, don't you? And Figueiredo just never, ever looked comfortable on the ball. And in doing so, you know, we sort of fell apart defensively because it just didn't work. So weird signing, really. I don't understand why.
Well, I guess when you sign 21 players, clearly not all of them are going to be specific sort of targets that are clearly going to work. I think there's sort of, we were just sort of signing anyone available.
But you don't really need to sign people just for signing sake, do you? If you're not going to fit the system, then what's the point?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So yeah, pretty terrible. I assume he's not going to be here next season. And wish him all the best.
Transparency, so.
Yeah, not that I don't. Not that anyone in England or in the Championship should probably get him. But maybe he'll go back to Portugal and have a lovely time, which he would deserve, because I'm sure he works very hard. But not for us. And then, I don't think we're going to vote on what the worst goal we conceded this season was, but it's probably
it was against Swansea.
I'm sure, looking at it, when Baxter sort of came out to get the ball and Figueiredo just tripped over, I keep thinking, looking at that goal, that Figueiredo has dived in his own box because he thinks
that's an opposition player who's trying to steal the ball and has tried to buy a foul.
Shocking. Absolutely shocking.
Which shows that they didn't communicate at all in any of that, because Baxter should be shouting, saying, "I'm coming for it," and he should be moving out the way, which obviously never happened. So Baxter as well was poor in that situation.
Yeah, pretty horrendous. Next up, though, quite the opposite. Cyrus Christie, 94% success. Why would anyone say he's a flop, considering that when he was actually fit, he was the best rated right back in the league?
He probably would have been player of the season had he not been injured.
100%.
Yeah. One of the best right backs we've had in the Championship ever, I guess. I mean, we've had some pretty good ones, but going forward and, you know, with he's had.
Liam Rossini, man.
but Liam Rossini was not a goal scorer, but Cyrus Christie's.
He's a defender.
He gives us an entirely new dimension when you're going forwards, Christie. I just think that he, as good as Coyle's been in his absence, and as dependable Coyle is as a team member, he doesn't offer the same offensive threat that Coyle does. Christie does, and I think if you had a fully fit forward line added to Christie as well, you know, we definitely wouldn't be struggling to score goals, would we? I think, you know, Christie was probably one of the biggest misses towards that run of the last few months, because where we were, you know, struggling to score more than one goal, we might have scored more had he been on the pitch. So it's, but we could say that about so many players this season. But yeah, Christie is amazing, especially for another free transfer. It's amazing that we managed to get him and Seri. You can put them in the same bracket, like, how other teams did come in for him is bad.
Well, yeah, because we signed him quite late in the window, and yeah. I think he'd even been on trial at Cardiff because he had been at Swansea, and I don't know why Swansea didn't sign him. I mean, maybe he had been on big wages at Fulham.
He did an interview, didn't he? And he said that he liked his time at Swansea, but the board told him they weren't going to keep him on because he's too old.
Yeah. And then two of our best players, best signings this season have been over 30 with Seri and Christie because, you know, Championship, you can keep going until you're like 37. And, you know, like Billy Sharp was one of the top scorers, 50 or something, wasn't he? Dean Wendas, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, absolutely incredible signing and very surprising that no one else got him, but all the better for us. Next up, Oscar Estepinian, slightly less, but still a success at 79%. But then only 2% said flop. So that's quite another good vote.
He was our top scorer. He has to be considered a success with 13 goals. Yeah. Even if on the field he could have done a lot more, he still scored plenty of goals for us, especially in the early part of the season when we were playing teams who we probably shouldn't have beat.
Yeah. I think the reason why perhaps more people haven't said success is because he got a lot of his goals in August and September. And then since then, he's only really scored a few, and he goes through those spells where he doesn't really offer much at all. But and again,
I just think, with Oscar, it's he's scored 13 goals, but there isn't many games that I would say he was man of the match. I think he only won the man of the match for Norwich because he scored 3 goals. He's an absolute goal poacher, but that seems to be the only thing that he can do. In terms of his performance levels, obviously, I think could be, you know, a lot better. I think he struggles to hold the ball up. But I also think he's a victim of the system. I don't think he's a one lone striker at all. Yeah, I think he has to play alongside another. And I don't know if we're going to do that next season. Oscar will be interesting to see what happens in summer because
I could see him leave.
I could see Oscar leaving. And I think a team, if they come in with a couple of mil, £2-3 million offer or something, I think he'd be gone. Because I think as much as Rodinia probably likes him and has scored goals, I don't think he sees them as the kind of player that's going to be the focal point of an attack for us, which he's proven he can't really do. But it's hard because, like you say, we haven't really got any other strikers. So unless he's bringing in 2 or 3 strikers, we don't know what's happening with Tete and Connolly and players like that. So, you know, it'd be an interesting one to keep an eye on. But he's a goal scorer, so, you know, it's just, like we say, performance-wise, he maybe could be a bit better.
Yeah, I think Tete, with his horrible injury record, and Tyler Smith, who doesn't really score very much and didn't do well at Oxford, and Connolly isn't our player anymore, I think we probably ought to keep Oscar and maybe see if we can get someone better who could play up front with him. But I think the fact he wasn't anywhere near the player of the season sort of debate when he was our top scorer, I think says a lot, because usually the top scorer just wins. Default, but yeah,
he which is really weird as well, because if I think otherwise. I think if he was fully fit all season, he'd have had at least 20 goals, and I still think we'd be having the same conversation now. And yeah, I think that perfectly sums him up, that he could probably have finished the season on 20 plus goals, and we're all sat here going, I don't think he was that good. It's so bizarre, isn't it? I don't think I've ever seen a player that has been like that before, but he's a bit of an anomaly in that sense, isn't he? But wait to see what his role is next season, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Enship says if we got a good solid offer in the summer, it wouldn't be that bad to sell him because we got him on a free, so that would be 100% profit. I still think, though, you know, for a first season in England, 13 goals and missing a portion of the season at the end, not bad at all. Not bad at all. Next up, Big Ben. Ben Tete, 38% success, but 58% jury still out. Again, one of those ones because of injuries, we don't really know. Maybe he could have been better, but he got injured at the start, came in, scored a lovely goal against West Brom, immediately injured again. I'd say, based on that, it's a flop, even though it was a free signing, because, I mean, we keep saying it, but if your player isn't available to play for like 80% of the season, that's not... it's not worth paying his wages, is it, really?
It's not a flop either, because he hasn't performed poorly to say that he shouldn't be considered a good transfer.
I was going to say, you can't use that logic, because then if you applied it to Adama Traore, you'd have to say he's a flop, because he wasn't
it. And when Tete has played, he's been pretty decent.
Mm. Yeah.
The thing, Tete, I think, he started the season, didn't he, in like a wide tight man role under Shotter. And he seemed
anyway,
to be
worked.
Yeah, he did. He had a good partnership with Oscar, which is the kind of thing we hopefully could see next season with them two up top. But then obviously, like we say, he got injured, came back in, looked very good, got a red card against Sheffield United, was out for three games, came back in the side, looked really good, scored a cracking goal against West Brom, started the game against Coventry well, and then got injured for the rest of the season. So you can imagine how frustrated Rosini must be, because I think Tete was perfect to the way he wanted to play. Because we want to play out from the back, we want to be possession-based, but every now and again, if the team presses us to a point we have to hit it long, you need somebody to, you know, give you that outlet to get out. And he did that, as well as being quite handy on the ball for a big lad. It's frustrating because I think he looks a really good player and I think he's fully fit. He's very good. But the club's got a decision to make, haven't they? Rosina keeps saying he wants robust, reliable players that are going to play week in, week out, not be injured. So where that, what that means for players like Tete, we'll have to wait and see. But I'd like to see him stay here if we can keep him fit. But, you know, it's up to Rosina at the end of the day, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, that's given me an interesting question to ask when we get onto the third striker signing of the season. So, but I'll hold off on that for a moment. Next up, another flop, according to the poll. 69% said that Ryan Woods from Birmingham, which was well, that actually was one of the other signings we made on a permanent deal with money from Birmingham. I mean, again, injury at the wrong time when Seri got injured. Woods would have been the obvious replacement, and he got injured as well. So a fair portion have said they don't really know whether he was good or not. But when he did play, he was just extremely bang average, as we expected him to be, I guess.
I liked Woods, but he never fit what Rossini wants to play like.
Probably so never fit Dawson or Shotter either.
It just didn't seem like the right sort of player in that position, the way that we want to play. And I think it could probably do a job for most teams in the Championship, but not the way that Rossini wants us to play.
I think Doherty's a better option, isn't he? And we signed Simons and Seri, so you do wonder why we bothered signing him at all.
Well, I think Simons wasn't really in the picture, was he? When we first signed him on loan, I don't think he not make his debut till December or January or something, did he?
Pretty much, yeah.
So Simons wasn't really in the picture. Woods actually played quite a bit under Shotter, didn't he? I thought sometimes he looked okay. It's just that we have better. It doesn't necessarily mean that he's a poor player. I think he's just a bog standard Championship player that doesn't really offer anything better to our midfield than what we've got. And I can understand why they've made him available for transfer.
Yeah, I think Woods and Figueiredo, I don't think anyone would be too displeased to see them go because they haven't really performed this season. Another major flop, 82%, Dimi Pelkas, came with a lot of excitement and hype, especially with his links to Ozan Tufan. They played together very well at Fenerbahce. Another one who kept getting injured. Even when he'd come back from injury, he'd be out the team another week or two. And when he played, got two goals. But other than that, didn't really do much. So I think maybe he's the biggest flop in terms of the expectation of what he could have been, because he's played in Europe and for a big club in Fenerbahce, and coming into the Championship just never stamped his authority and showed his quality. So,
yeah.
Big flop.
He kept trying to show him. You could tell there was something there. There's moments, but he never seemed... He played like he was knackered, to be honest, for the most part.
Maybe he was. Maybe he was. I guess fitness and, you know, having all those injuries would do that to you. Even if we could get him on a free, would you sign Pelkas?
No, I wouldn't. Because I don't think... I don't know. If he took a big wage cut and it was a free transfer, then yeah, probably. But I can't see him doing that. And I don't think he was comfortable here. Pelkas was one of the biggest disappointments for me, because I think he came with such hype that he was going to be, you know, he was pretty much made out to be our best signing. I don't really think we saw anything he could do anywhere near his full potential, that is, anywhere. Even the couple of goals that he scored, you know, the header weren't too bad, but you know, it's we just didn't see enough from him on a consistent basis. And like you say, he was in and out with injury as well, but I just don't think there was a player there that fits this system at all. I mean, I don't know where he definitely couldn't do that number nine role like Toufan could. And I don't think out on the left he really offered anything either. So I mean, you only have to look at like Harry Vaughan coming in and the impact he's made playing off the left. He's done more in the very few games he's played than Pelkas has done all season. And Pelkas is a you know, experienced international player that's played in European competitions and at the highest level. So, you know, very big disappointment for me.
It's probably the one I was most excited about when we signed, or that long period in the summer where we knew we were going to sign them, and then they just didn't get announced for about what felt like an entire transfer window, pretty much, because it was. He came in and got injured pretty quickly. Or did he come in and he was injured immediately? It took him until November again. It was that period where Trotter kept losing.
I'm mixed up on all the injuries point.
Everyone's been injured.
Exactly.
Except Slater and Greaves, I think. Greaves is fucking a little bit out, actually.
The next player we've got on the polls, Salah Eddin Ulad Miand, or something like that. Salah, let's just call him Salah. He probably sums up our summer recruitment because he was injured even before we signed him, right?
Yeah.
88% flop, 10% jury still out. He has gone back to Arsenal, I think. Did he go back on January? In January on loan.
Yeah.
Atrocious waste of time, I imagine.
Technically, jury's still out because he never played.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know how good he was, how good he could be, because we didn't see him play. It was a weird one that I even contemplated not adding in because we actually didn't see him play. But no, very strange transfer. I don't know why you would even sign anybody that's knowingly going to be out for X many months. On a loan anyway, because the vast majority of the deal, you're paying for somebody not to play. It just doesn't make sense. Yeah. Very strange.
Didn't he come in and he was supposed to be on number 10?
Yeah.
And
he was the number 10. He actually had the number 10.
Everywhere took it in January.
Yeah.
Well, I think both number 10s this year come in with a lot of hype and have been
we're getting a bit of a number 10 cast at the minute.
Abysmal. Just abysmal wastes of time. Because, you know, transfers take forever and they seem to be very complicated deals, those. So just all the poor time Tan Kessler could have spent literally doing anything else with his life than getting those signings done and the stress of that. Very unfortunate. Another very unfortunate one here, Harvey Vale. Again, I think Salah.
I genuinely forgot we had him until I read the polls that Ant put out.
I think even more so than Salah, who didn't even play for us. Vale was the least memorable. He played against Swansea. He did nothing until 70 minutes in when he left his marker completely free and they scored. And then he missed a one-on-one in the FA Cup match 2 minutes in. And those were his two contributions. 0 out of 10, I'd say. Poor guy. Nothing against him. Probably not ready to play, you know, football at that high level.
When I look back at it, I think the situation at the club hindered him. I think the fact that it was Arveladze and the chaotic mess that was the start of the season, he couldn't settle here. He's a young player that needed to find somewhere that he could, you know, flourish. And I don't think
did have a chance.
I don't think he ever settled, really. Because he came as like one of Chelsea's best upcoming prospects. They see him as the first team player in a few years. But I don't know. I think he's a few years off that, definitely. I think he needs to maybe drop down to League One or League Two for a loan spell first. I think Championship was maybe a bit too high for him to jump straight into. But yeah, another strange loan transfer. Maybe we were just trying to hit a domestic transfer target. Maybe we just needed some English players.
I honestly don't think that's that far from the truth. Again, 3% success on Vale. That's more than one person voted him as a success. Almost 300 people voted. So that's almost like three people. Insane. What are you doing with your lives? Like, take these things seriously.
That's nine people, Nathaniel.
Is it? Oh, well, I dropped maths. Doesn't matter. It's not important. Next up, we've got another, you know, decent enough one. Another player we signed on a permanent deal eventually. Xavier Simons came in with Vale at the same time, another Chelsea loan. 50% jury still out, 44% success. One for the future.
Yeah,
I like him. Liam really likes him.
He looks composed, doesn't he? And he's clearly got a very good player to learn from that position with Seri. And probably maybe done a bit better than Woods when he came in, potentially.
Yeah, he has done better than Woods.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, clearly the battle they had. I don't think Simons or Woods were ever going to think they're getting their get into the starting 11 very often. But if they could be the player to step up when Seri got injured, then, and of course, maybe Simons a tiny bit lucky that Woods was injured at the time Seri was, but he took that opportunity with maybe not both hands, but at least one. And that's why he's signed on a permanent deal. So looking forward to seeing what comes from him in the future.
A smart transfer, that one.
Astute, isn't it? Exactly. Smart and astute. Those are the exact words to use for that. Next up, we've got Vaughan Coville, another player that people will forget. We signed him as an academy player, but because of the, injuries from Forest Green, was it?
Yeah.
He came in, played a few games, and then, of course, poor guy, injured for the entire season, bar the first few games he played. 79% jury still out.
Yeah.
I imagine.
Yeah, I also like,
I think he looks promising, but like, say, injuries completely curtailed everything.
We do have
maybe
quite
give
a few good
spell next season, because I think,
yeah,
I think Harry Vaughan is going to be the one that plays instead of him next year, and I think maybe rather than putting him in the under 23s, I'd let him have a loan spell in like League One or something, get a full season under his belt.
Between the two Vaughan young players that we signed from other academies this year, Harry Vaughan's certainly the better of the two, and they probably played the same amount of games. But I mean, looking at this list and some of the young players we've got coming through, we do still have a lot of things to look forward to. Simons, Coville and Vaughan would be a very exciting midfield one day, potentially, in a few years, perhaps, and Slater. So, lots of good young players at the club at the moment. It's just a shame they all get injured, really. Next up, the first player we were linked to this summer, and then the last player we announced because he was injured, of course, Adama Traore. 87% success, 12% jury still out. When he eventually came in, straight into the starting 11, really good player.
I never expected him to be as good as he was. Not in a million years.
No.
I mean, which is weird, because when you look at his playing career, he's far too qualified to be playing in the Championship.
But he spent nearly 2 years out injured.
He did. And I think that he's come into a very good situation where I think he's the perfect kind of player for a Liam Rosinia team. He's the exact kind of player that Rosinia would want. Very tidy on the ball. Likes those quick 1-2s, incisive passes into the space in behind. I think if you've got a striker that loves running behind, like a Jamie Vardy-esque kind of striker, he would get about 10 assists in a season.
Rosinia himself said in press conference after games, he couldn't believe he got this player, because obviously when he comes in, he's injured, he doesn't know what he's got. And when he started, he couldn't believe the player he had on his hands, because he was like, he probably thought, I'm going to have to bring in this sort of player. And it turns out he was always there the entire time.
He had something like 16, 17 goal contributions in his season at Monaco. And he, I think him and Mbappe had like the most productive partnership in that league or something, which is fairly easy when you've got Mbappe running in behind kind of thing. But that's the example that I'm trying to use. If you've got a striker that is fast and can get in behind, Adama's going to find you all day. And he can score goals. I think he scored something like 8 in that, and he cost him 15 million quid. He's an international. He's got Champions League experience. He, like I say, he's a Premier League player. And I think if he's fully fit all season, next season, we've got one of the best, if not the best midfielder in the league. Yeah, I'm very
That's
excited.
A bold claim.
I
won't go that high,
but
he's one of the most technically gifted, I'd say, potentially.
Yeah.
Because no one, I don't think any other midfielders in the league have played along with Mbappe, have they? So that's a qualification just by itself, I'd say. So yeah, incredible goal he scored against Millwall, and some of the passes and the dribbles he's done. Just looks so calm and composed on the ball, which you'd think coming into England and Hardy having played for the last 2 years, he'd be a bit rusty and a bit
maybe he's a good cautious. Free kick taker as well. Mm. Obviously, he scored one for the under-23s, didn't he? And then he almost scored against Luton with a free kick. So it looks like he's got a tidy set piece on him, which I think is something we've been missing for the last 2 years. Yeah. Someone to score from a free kick.
Yeah, I mean, do stop me if I keep going on, but our corners and set pieces this season, even last year, dreadful, absolutely atrocious. It doesn't help that we didn't have, you know, because of injuries and the amount of players we had Tufan and Elder and Seri and Pelkas and maybe even Slater, and just everyone took them. So I think if Traore takes them all, we've got an assist for Aliar with the corner recently. Having one player, I think, take them at least from one side.
Yeah, we need to knock the short corners on the head. It does my head in.
Oh, because we haven't scored one. No. We haven't scored one, and then
but you're not going to score them every time either.
No, but the only
time we're doing a mixture, it's when we do them every time. I don't like it.
The only set piece goals we have scored this season have been when we've just lumped it in the box, which hasn't been that often. But yeah, under Vecinia, taking them short, we've not yet scored. So I think, you know, yeah. Enshep says, saw a lot of short corners at the end of the season. I hope that doesn't continue.
And, it's okay if the player that you give it to either then puts it in the box for a better angle, or you lay it off to somebody to maybe have a cheeky long-range shot. But we tend to play it short and then just start passing it around like if we were already in open play. And it just seems like it's a wasted opportunity. Like, you just put it in the box because, you know, that's an opportunity to score, isn't it, if someone gets their head on it. But, it doesn't matter. I'll never be a fan of short corners. Never. It doesn't matter.
No. Maybe statistically there is something that we get out of it, but it just doesn't look good, does it? And, you know, we're not really a free-flowing scoring side under the senior, so use that opportunity when you can, especially with the likes of Greaves, who had a few more goals this season.
Especially considering we struggle to score goals. If we could add set-piece goals to our repertoire, we might have been in with a shout with the top six for a bit further on in the season. You know, we were struggling to score more than one on a regular basis, and sometimes, I mean, teams like Millwall score loads of set pieces, almost finished in the top six. You've got to have more strings to your bow, aren't you? And at the minute, we've kind of only got the open play goals to our bow. But we'll see what we do next season with them.
Mm-hmm. Up next, we've got Timothy Lotutala. 78% jury still out, 20% success, even though he hasn't played for us. of course, I was talking about in the last few weeks, Lotutala watch that he'd gone to Stevenage, but he's gone to Stevenage. He's played, I think, was it 8 or 9 games for them on loan, on an emergency loan. He got promoted, so that's a very good experience for him. Clearly, can't be an awful goalkeeper if you get promoted, even if you play a few games. So I'd say
one international as well.
I'd say it's a successful signing. You know, as a third choice goalkeeper, you're not going to find many third choice goalkeepers that have had a better year than him. I guess.
Success. He hasn't played for us.
He got promoted. He got promoted with Stephen. It's a very good experience for him. So
that's a successful signing for Stevenage then, isn't it? Not for us. Yeah.
Sure. But he's our player. He'll have
jury
got a good,
is still out, Nathaniel.
He'll have learned a lot.
And he's a good signing for the future. He's a young goalkeeper. It's a good option.
Exactly. I think it's worked out. I think that's pretty good, personally. Up next, another goalkeeper, 57% flop. So, you know, that's a majority, but not an absolutely huge one. That's Nathan Baxter. Again, injury. Mm. Another one. Getting very repetitive, this. It's just...
I think it's more considered a flop because we know how good Baxter can be.
I don't think he was as good this season as he was last season.
I think the sort of calamitous defence in front of him maybe didn't help him much, but it seemed to be a case of when he came into the side, we were in that bad run and he never recovered from it. And then obviously, like we say, we got injured. And I just think hype, we all wanted us to sign. I think all three of us would have been happy to have Baxter and Ingram as the goalkeepers that we had. And obviously, he's got a problem with injuries too, and you don't really want a goalkeeper that's unreliable in that sense. So we ended up with Darlow. So I'd rather have Darlow than Baxter, unfortunately.
I'd call that an upgrade, personally.
Yeah. So
same. Yeah.
Unfortunately for him, I'm sure he'll find a Championship loan.
Very easy. Easy.
It won't be short, is that for sure?
I think Baxter's another one that I forget because, you know, Ingram and Darlow have been so good this season. And then Baxter was, again, in that sort of awkward phase where we had Schotter and then Dawson and then Messina. And I think probably only had two or three games with each of them in goal. So another sort of poor season for him. But he's young. He's clearly got talent, so he won't be too badly affected by that. Another goalkeeper up next, Carl Darlow, 96% success. Came in, got into the team ahead of Ingram, who is already one of the best goalkeepers in the league, and then was an upgrade on Ingram. So absolutely part of the reason why we've had so many clean sheets recently. And I think, 96% of people would say they'd love him on a permanent deal in the summer.
Sorry, Tim.
I cannot believe that's not 100%, quite frankly, as far as I'm concerned.
Let's put that number on the table. Sign it.
Unreal.
He won us points as a goalkeeper. Yeah. Some of the performances he had, you can see why he was one of the best keepers when he was at Forest in the Championship and a Premier League move to Newcastle. And because Newcastle have got about four goalkeepers that are good enough to be first team, is kind of seen his career slow down. So I think coming to us has helped to reignite his career a bit, and I don't think he'll be short of offers in the summer. Hopefully we've got kind of like a first dib situation on him. I think from what he said, he liked it here, so I would like to see him come back. It probably would depend on, I can imagine, the transfer fee and the wages, because I think he'll be quite an expensive goalkeeper. But he's in his prime, like goalkeepers in the 30s.
Oh, yeah.
Can go till they're about 44, can't they? So he's still at a good age for a goalkeeper's experience. And I don't think he's as good distribution-wise as Baxter, but in terms of confidence that he gives me as a fan when he's in goal, even more so than Ingram, to a sense. And I think I think the back four show that as well. I think that they're very confident in his ability and the way he communicates his spot. We've just got to sign him. Easy.
Yeah,
100%. 100%. Next up, we've got, I think, the second most votes for flop, 90% flop, Malcolm Ebuwe. Had maybe 1.5 good games for us, came in with a lot of hype, but generally, Burnley was incredible and we got battered. Just came in with a lot of hype, clearly has quality, but perhaps doesn't have the application, and we won't be signing him on a permanent deal unless we're senior. Goes completely crazy in the summer, I imagine.
Rossini is very disappointed in him, I think.
Yeah, because, I mean, I said, I think, 2 weeks ago, if Rossini, this was his number one target, and I think probably just says a lot that Ebuwe hasn't really, you know, performed for someone that he should be performing for, you know, having that belief in a player in January coming into the side. But then again, another one, he got injured before he signed for us as well. So I don't think that would have helped. So
very frustrating everywhere. Yeah. I think he needs to have a long look at himself this summer, because Rossini put a lot of trust in him. Was very vocal in the press about how much he wanted him. Number one target, came with a lot of hype. Derby fans, not one of them said a bad thing about him. Came here and just never really looked like he wanted to play. His interviews, I think I remember someone tweeting me and saying, even his first interview, they put it down to nerves. But when you look back at it, he just looks like he was here because he's been told to come here more than he wanted to come here. And I think Rossini is probably very disappointed, more than anybody, that he's come here and just not applied himself. But the good thing that's come from it is that we've seen now Rossini's managerial style. He won't accept players, no matter how much he trusts them or knows them. He will not let them have a bypass by not reaching the levels that he demands. So that's good. So it was a bad signing for us in terms of productivity on the pitch. But to know that he's not going to accept any less than what he demands, even if he trusts them and considers them as, you know, a player that he knows well, it's good because it means that next season, you know, players will not be getting away with it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, a good sort of, you know, stamping as authority sort of a benchmark, perhaps, for senior. You know, you got to do better than this guy. The third of the four January signings, if we're including Vaughan, was Aaron Connolly. I do usually like forward players that come on loan from Brighton. And Connolly, again, got injured. He played 6 games, 2 goals against QPR. Again, probably would have been a really good signing if he didn't get injured. But 61% jury's still out. And then sort of mixed between success and flop, 19 and 20%. Now, probably the most difficult one to talk about, I'd say.
He is the example that Andrew just gave of someone who Rossini puts trust in and they actually do put the effort in.
Yeah. He has sort of the energy in there.
I love Connolly. Yeah. I think we missed him more than Oscar at the end of the season. Because we missed, someone who was a bit of a poo house at the up front. And and he offered that.
Yeah. It's his running as well. It boundless energy.
Tireless.
He'd have ran through a wall for Rosinha, and that's the kind of player you want him to be.
Having him and then you've got Slater behind him and then you bring Doherty off the bench, just ridiculous.
Yeah, he ran the channels, he trapped back. He loved to cut inside, he was dangerous. A couple of goals he scored, he took well, and it was a shame. Another case of what if, in terms of the end of the season. I think if he's fit from January to the end of the season, we're in a totally different place in the league. I would be interesting to see if we go back in for. I personally would think because I'm sure he's in his last year of contract. I bet we could pay Brighton a tiny fee to loan him for the rest of the year and then have him join in summer. I'd like to see that, but it's another case of because of his injury record,
it would be a risk either way because he did seem. Him and Oscar did seem to have a good partnership, and clearly Rossinia likes him. And I think, you know, he's played in the Premier League. He sort of came here and rejuvenated his career for 3 weeks and got injured. So
Brighton don't want
it could work out.
He's at a place that he's not wanted and hasn't got a future. So it will make sense that he's going to go somewhere in summer. If that's here, I'd be perfectly fine with that. But it's like we say, it's whether or not. I can imagine Rossinia is probably in contact with him, trying to see about his fitness and whatnot, but it'll be an interesting one. Another interesting transfer saga, I think, that'll happen in the summer. I think we'll probably have a couple of inquiries and see as to how he's doing and whatnot, and see where we go. But I'd like to see him back. I really like him as a player, and I think he came with a bit of a rap for being a bit of a disruptor, and he's proven everybody wrong, which is good.
Yeah, he seemed to do his disrupting on the pitch rather than in the dressing room, which is where you want it. The question I was going to ask, if we went into next season, and hopefully they didn't keep getting injured, if we had Oscar, Tete and Connolly as our striking options, would we be happy with that? Or do we think that something needs to change there? Yeah, I think I would be. The injury record would be, I think, the biggest risk there. But if they did stay fit, I think you've got three players that sort of offer different things. And I mean, definitely Oscar and Tete and Oscar and Connolly work together. Maybe Connolly and Tete would be even better.
Connolly would most likely come in off the left, wouldn't he? And I think he'd start Tete because I think, like we say, it suited Rossinia a bit more. And then Oscar and Tete would, I assume, rotate in that sense, and I'd be very happy with that.
I mean, even as a front three, that could work because I think wingers have been our problem position this season, really. Well,
Tete showed that he can work out wide under Schotter.
Yeah, Connolly can do that. I think maybe front three, that would actually work rather than just sort of two out-and-out strikers. So, I think what you said, it could be an interesting sort of transfer saga, whether or not we're going to go in for him. And then the very last signing that we made, we did actually sign him in January from Oldham, is Harry Vaughan. 83% success, 13% jury out.
This is actually interesting because every fiber of my being wants to say success because I absolutely love Harry Vaughan. But really, he only played about 4 or 5 games.
I think five games. Yeah,
he should be jury still out because
but while he only played 4 or 5 games and won player of the month in those 4 or 5 games.
Very true. Mike Phelan also got manager of the month for us in the Premier League, so that doesn't mean anything.
Also,
true.
So, while I loved him, and there's clearly bags of talent there, it's maybe too early to say for certain he's an absolute success, but he's ace. So, yeah.
He offered a lot more in the few games that he played than some of our attacking options.
Pretty much all the other wingers that we've said in this list. Yeah.
I don't actually think he's even an actual winger. I'm sure he's meant to be a midfielder.
He's more of an attacking mid, yeah.
So, but he's the biggest compliment you can give him, and I said this on Gabe Sutton's show last night, is that he came into the side and looks like he's been playing with this side for about 4 or 5 years. Not that we signed him in January from League One. He looks comfortable at this level. It didn't seem phased at all. Fans have taken to him quickly, and I think Rosinha absolutely adores him. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of part he plays next season, because I think obviously Rosinha is going to be signing at least probably 4 attacking options from what he's been saying about needing, you know, some goal scorers and some reinforcements in the front line. So where his place in the squad and how often he plays is yet to be seen. But I would like to see him involved as often as possible, because it seems like he could be on that trajectory of, you know, a young player that comes in and does very well for us and hopefully improves year by year.
Yeah, the next Bowen, the next Lewis Potter, perhaps. That would be very pleasant. So that's come to the end of the 21 signings we've made. 7 successes out of 21. Not the best year of recruitment. But then I'd say some of those flops and some of those juries are still out could go on to be good signings. I think there's only a few flops that are like obviously really rubbish, like Figueiredo and maybe Ebiwe, things like that. But then a fair few of them are loan signings and maybe we're not going to see them again. So generally, if you were going to give it a number or a letter grade, however you want, our year of recruitment, what would you rate it? Because I'd probably give it a 5, maybe. I think that the general recruiting, maybe not even some of the players, but just the whole sort of layout or like the plan that we had wasn't very well thought out.
Yeah, I don't know what the plan was in summer, to be honest.
I don't think anyone does.
It's just sign anyone.
I think a player was like, yeah, I'm available and I'll come round. And they're like, yeah, sure, come on back.
And I think Adjun's learned from that as well.
Yeah, which is good because we, you know, he obviously has big dreams for the club and wants Premier League and thought that, yeah, let's sign all these players. Not realising that maybe, you know, it should have been bit by bit more than all at once. Because to bed in new players takes time, especially players from abroad. It just screamed. Everything in that beginning half of the season was just a complete mess. And I think the summer sort of summed that up. Although we did obviously get some good players out of that, the vast majority maybe should have been more researched, I think, especially players like Figueiredo that obviously weren't going to benefit the side whatsoever. Woods that didn't really improve the starting 11. But like Will said, I think he's learned, and I think this summer will be totally different. I think we'll actually go for, you know, fewer players, but ones that will actually improve the starting 11.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with 3 for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club. Because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Yeah, I think part of what we had to do last year was we had a very sort of League One squad almost with a few quality players, and we had to sort of get not only players into the starting 11, but sort of build up the reserves with more quality as well. Whereas I don't think we're going to have to do that this year. So, yeah, not the best. Enshep agrees with you, Ant. A year of learning on the transfer front. Will, do you want to do a bit of fun stuff and compare our predictions from the start of the season?
Well, why not make ourselves look like absolute fools? Because I think it'd be a fantastic idea.
I've remembered one prediction I made, which was quite bold, which has turned out brilliantly.
We'll get to that. And you were the only one, it turns out, that also made that prediction. So you're not the only smart ass here. But anyway, yeah. So back the day before we played Bristol, we had our preview and we obviously tried to predict how the season was going to go. And it was, in hindsight, when I watched it earlier today, rather funny. So we'll start with, it was only me, of all of us on it, us three were the ones who did our predictions. But funny how you mentioned the transfers. So you just said our transfers were, what, 5 out of 10?
Five out of 20.
I would say you gave it 8 out of 10 in the summer. I was a coward and refused to answer. I had some rant about not being able to judge anyone until the season started, which it turns out is very true. And you gave a 7 out of 10. Mm.
That's not as bad.
Best signings, not too bad guess, really. Nathaniel, you said Seri. Oh. I also said Seri. And you said Alia.
Now, you've had a shocker.
Well, in the summer, obviously, it was a promising signing. Yeah. And
what an idiot.
He actually started the season really well. The injury curtailed him.
Yeah. I was going to say, I promise you, Anne, you're about to look less stupid because here's the top scorer. And while you and Nathaniel both picked Estupinan, this lad picked Alia.
I think that's worse because he scored two
goals. Yeah.
Yeah, to be honest, I think, you know, predicting Oscar to be the top goal scorer when, you know, that wasn't that difficult, I'd say. But clearly for you, it was, Will.
Well, I went with the logic of, well, Jared Bowen scored loads from the wing. Well, Keane Lewis-Paul scored loads from the wing.
Hamiar isn't as good as Bowen, is he?
Yeah, but Malik Wilson either, but he scored loads from the wing in the League One season.
In League One, yeah. Yeah.
Well, Ali was better than Malik Wilkes.
We'll spare your blushes a bit and move quickly on, shall we?
I am annoyed. Best player, Nathaniel said Longman.
Oh, what a surprise.
Well, I mean, yeah. You know, I stand by that, quite frankly, as I have done but all season.
You also said Seri, so I'll give you a break on that one. And you said Greaves. Not a bad guess, really, because he got young player. Yeah. I was clearly concerned with him moving to Middlesbrough because I said Greaves or, if he leaves, Slater.
Well, he won as well.
I don't remember ever saying Slater, but I'm very happy with that choice because it turned out to be pretty good.
Yeah. Did he win... Best.
He won fan player and player's player, but not Liam's player, which is the one that actually goes down as the player of the year.
Yeah, well, that's pretty good prediction.
Most importantly for Old City, table position. Mm. Now, we finished in, where did we finish? 15th in the end?
15th.
14th? It was 15th, wasn't it? Nathaniel, you said 11th.
Mm-hmm.
And you said 11th.
Mm.
I said 11th. How boring.
Wow. I mean,
what content?
I guess, you know, none of us are going to be the idiot in that, you know, because we're all predicted the same thing. Yeah, I'm quite annoyed I didn't get 3 years in a row because, of course, everyone said we were going to walk League One and we did. And then I got 19th correct last season. Yeah, but I think maybe if we had Konami fit or Christie fit or Seri fit or Oscar fit, maybe we would have finished 11th, but we didn't.
I'm sure I said that we would briefly flirt with the playoffs and then fall short.
You did.
Yeah.
Well, we did for the first five games.
Yeah, around January time, we were talking about the playoffs. We went on that good run. Yeah. So I'm taking that.
Well, that's the end of the City predictions. We did also try and do the Championship, which is a much funnier to read, to be honest.
It's so difficult to predict.
To start, it was rather boring because for the relegation, we all predicted exactly the same. We got one of them right. We all said Reading would go down, which is pretty fair. They had Paul Ince, and then look what happened. But yeah, we all said Rotherham would go down, and they broke the curse and stayed up, even with Tommy, who's the legend up front. And we all said, and I think at the time it made sense to say this because they were in absolute shambles, and it was Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
I think you remember, people remember back to the summer, there was all the issues with Lawrence Pacini trying to take them over, and it wasn't looking very good for them because they were in a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But well, even they, though, got out of it in the end.
Birmingham have not been relegated from the Championship in like millions of years because they were the Premier League.
I think the longest serving team currently in the Championship.
Well, is it 12 years now? But they keep about staying up.
Like between 20th and 18th every
season. Yes.
Well, yeah. They're like the Wigan or the Sunderland that used to stay up in the Premier League all the time, but the Championship. So I think Birmingham, even though they never do get relegated, they will at some point. It's always a fair shout.
They're living dangerously is what is probably the best way to put it.
Every year.
The playoffs, now obviously you've got Object 4 teams. It's a bit trickier. But to be fair, we actually did all right on this. And you predicted Borough, Burnley, Sheffield United and West Brom. So, I mean, you've got three teams that were close up there.
But that's only one right.
Only one correct.
Only because two betted it.
Only because two got automatics, yeah.
Still wrong.
Yeah, all right, fair play.
I predicted Sheffield United as well. So I'm also was wrong. I also predicted Watford. And I also predicted Millwall. And I predicted Luton. And I don't remember ever saying that. I remember saying that, but I'm very happy with that choice because, Nathaniel, you also picked Luton as well.
I was very happy with that choice. And well, I'm very happy that it...
Considering you just dissed Ant for picking Burnley, you also picked Burnley. You also picked Middlesbrough and Norwich. What are you thinking, Norwich, to finish one place above us?
Well, I got two right out of the four, which is the most of us three. So I'm very chuffed with that. Maths.
Well,
I'm very happy.
For our automatics, we all picked six different teams for our automatics, which is quite mental, really. And you picked Norwich and Watford. I'm sorry. Yeah. I picked Burnley and Borough. So that's half right. And you picked, and you, Nathaniel, picked Sheffield United and West Brom.
Oh, they're going to go up at some point. They have such a good squad. Well, I got three of the top six. Right.
They're in a lot of financial trouble. They went all or bust this year, I think.
Yeah, pretty much.
They took a 20 million loan out, so they've got a problem next season.
Oh, dear.
Underperformers is an interesting one here. I don't actually have an. You never said anything for it, Ant. Which is quite funny.
What?
Underperformers. You didn't say anything for it. I've got nothing. But the other two are quite funny because I said Sunderland.
Wow. They're probably the biggest over... They are the biggest overperformers of the season.
Well, no, so. I would say Luton are.
No, because Luton got in the playoffs the previous season. Sunderland just got promoted from League One. No one thought they were going to get in the playoffs.
Nathaniel, in the episode, you went on a rant about how Luton were unbelievable underdogs to even get there.
The first year, but not the second year. That's why I predicted them to do it. No?
Well, for your underperformers, you picked Hull City, you traitor.
Well, I was right because they finished four places lower than I thought they would.
Yeah, but is that us underperforming or did we finish whereabouts we probably expected to? Ergo, meeting expectations.
Well, we all expected us to finish 11th and we finished 15th, so I'm taking that.
You predicted us to
finish 11th, and that was an underperformance. So that means you expected us to finish higher.
Yeah, but you can't have both. Like,
no, that's what you predicted.
This is your prediction.
We did underperform. So,
no. This is what you predicted at the start of the season,
and I was right.
That was this.
So, I was right. So what you're saying is that we genuinely should have been finishing in like the top six.
Yeah. No, at the time, but we did underperform, and I said we were going to be the biggest underperformers. So, you know, I'm having that.
No.
Well, you've redeemed yourself on this one because for your dark horse, you said Luton.
Thank you, thank you.
But you're not the only one, because I also said Luton.
Oh, did I say?
And actually, to be fair, no, you didn't. You said someone who very close to being a dark horse, Millwall.
Mm.
They bottled it on the final day for you, unfortunately. I mean, I had them to be in the playoffs myself, so...
Well, I wouldn't say they were dark horse, because they finished, like, seventh last year as well.
Yeah, but
you said Luton was your dark horse, and they finished in the playoffs last season.
Yeah, but you were saying that they weren't going to do well.
Unreal.
I don't really think we can apply logic to any of these. It's a championship.
Anyway, just to quickly round it off, there was a couple of them, only me and Nathaniel bid, because I don't know why. Because obviously, Ant wasn't actually on the episode. He sent all his predictions in.
Yes.
Premier League, we both said Man City. Champions League, you said Real Madrid. I said Tottenham, but really Man City. And then for the World Cup, you said England. Seriously, England. Because you're a mentalist. And I said Argentina or Brazil. So I was 50% plus.
Wrong.
You could still be right. Man City are going to win the Premier League, let's be honest. They're more than likely going to win the Champions League. And Argentina did win the World Cup, so you probably got a clean sweep in that.
I did say all Brazil, so I did use my bets.
You can do that. You can do that. Well, England are going to win the World Cup at some point.
Hopefully.
Are you on about the Women's World Cup? Because that's the only time we're going to do it.
Yeah, I'll say that, sure.
Anyway,
the hockey. I meant the Hockey World Cup, yeah.
Cricket.
Well, that was jolly.
Anyway, that was us all looking like idiots.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a mixed bag. We did get some right, which I think sort of helps a bit.
Well, I will say this as well. I almost completely made myself look the biggest idiot because I nearly picked Wigan as my dark horse.
Oh dear!
I nearly picked Wigan as my dark horse, and then dark horse to finish
20th
bottom.
Wow! Yeah, that would have been atrocious,
catastrophic.
Absolutely. I mean, like, dear me. Yeah, we've had to put in the stocks for that.
And next season is probably going to be even harder to predict because I think the teams coming up from League One are better than what we saw last season. It's looking like it's going to be clubs that are quite big, so they're going to be looking to bounce straight back up. Then you've got
come on Everton, come back down.
Going to be in, you know, Borough again, we'll be going for automatics, I'd imagine. Whoever don't go up in the final is going to be there about Millwall, Swansea. You know, there's going to be so many teams that are going to be up there again. I think it's going to be another season where there's loads of teams really close near the top six.
On that, isn't it nice to have a playoff final where you kind of, it's nice having like whoever wins, it's a great story.
Oh, absolutely. Whereas Sunderland, Middlesbrough, imagine how boring that would have been.
Oh, boring.
I would have boycotted
two
it.
Two teams who haven't been in the Prem for, well, Luton have never been in the Prem. As we know, football started in 1992. And Coventry have been there since 2001, I think.
Yeah, something like that. The way I judge it is that if you get a new stadium in the Premier League on FIFA, that's interesting, rather than just another parachute payment team going back up. But Coventry and Luton, they don't have their stadium, so, you know.
But then you can have Kenilworth Road with its entrance and the away end in a back garden.
I mean, Coventry would be cool. Plus, I do like Gyökeres because I like my Swedish players. But yeah, I think we're all Luton, right? And we spoke.
Personally, of the two, I'm Luton, but I'm fine whoever wins, to be honest, in that way.
Yeah, just want it to be a nice match. And yeah, I think either of those would be definitely interesting. Whereas Sunderland, I mean, how are they going to the playoffs? I don't know.
Because Millwall cocked up.
Yeah, and Blackburn. Mind you, everyone did, really. QPR did, of course. Almost got relegated from being top in October, was it?
Yeah.
Blimey. I don't know what exact awards we did last year, but I've got a few for us to give out, or just to say our own answers for. So we'll start with our best goal of the season that we scored.
Blackpool.
Yeah.
Doherty versus Blackpool. And you're saying Doherty versus Blackpool.
If Pelicas would have scored the goal at Borough,
I agree with that. That would have been goal of the season. Mm.
But Pelkas did not do a goal cast.
Yeah. Well, this is the only one, because last year, because he was a new signing and he was a decent enough young player, I could sort of squeeze him into a few categories. But the only place I can place Ryan Long in the season is potentially best goal, because team goals are always nice.
That was my second favourite against Rotherham.
Against Rotherham, a team goal.
I love that goal.
Incorporates, you know, the beautiful game and what football is all about, the passing and the moving. And, you know, obviously he tapping it in the 6-yard box isn't like the best goal of the season, but, you know, yeah, that was a nice goal at Rotherham. So Longman definitely scored the best goal this season. I guess best match / moment of the season?
The 4-all against Sunderland.
Best match Sunderland, yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't even thinking about that because
if we're gonna pick a win, I'd say probably Norwich.
The best moment,
Norwich or Coventry? I don't know.
The best moment for me, I think the first game of the season when Seri scored that 92nd minute winner, and it felt like with the new era really kicking off, first full season
that,
of the Reds.
That North Stand was mental that day. It was very nice. It was great. Yeah. It was boiling hot. It was.
Yeah, that's what I would have gone for as best match of the season, Hull City Bristol. But I guess, I'd say best moment, the Seri goal, best match. Well, I don't really want to go the Sunderland game because I thought second half we were absolutely appalling, bar the goals.
How can you not say a 4-4 game, not the best game?
It's a 4-all draw, Nathaniel.
But because we didn't.
It was the highest scoring game in the championship this season.
And it was a total, like, pendulum as well. Like, we went in the lead, they went in the lead, we went back, and it was crazy.
If you were a neutral, it must have been the best thing to watch in the world.
Yeah, yeah. Well, even though I'd forgotten, I think, you've convinced me. Best match was the 4-all against Sunderland. Most improved player of the season, which is the trophy I won for my Sunday league team because I was absolutely rubbish and then I was bang average 1 year. Most improved player? I don't really know.
Actually.
Well, who was good last year? Or who was bad last year?
I'm going to give it Slater.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Jones last year,
he's just improved.
Yeah, he's gone
he
from
hasn't
a,
gone
a,
from
a,
bad.
A
he's gone from good to great.
Crucial to our team, yeah.
Yeah, that's why I've written.
It's Slater, very interesting that in like the Player of the Year awards, all the winners were previous regime players.
Yeah, Enchep's or Slater or Jones. I think those are probably the two best options there. Then best signing of the season. I think what we said at the start of the year has proven correct. Seri?
Maybe.
On a free? One of the best midfielders in the league?
Based on the premise that Christie was injured for half the year.
I think it's probably Seri.
Yeah, Seri. And you know, it's the best signing in terms of like the excitement of him coming in as well.
If you asked a supporter from every other team in the championship if they'd take any of our players, they'd all say Seri.
They'd probably say Seri.
That's a shame. Yeah. And then I guess the last one would be best player of the season. I think we've already all agreed. Regan Slater.
Well, I said Alfie Jones.
Oh, look at me. I'm so contrarian.
I'm not contrarian. Yeah. I'm agreeing with Liam Rosinia.
Nonsense. It's clearly the fan and the player vote are the more important ones because that would mean I'm right saying Slater. Are there any other awards we can give out? I'm trying to think back to last year. I guess worst goal we conceded. We've already done that.
Swansea away.
Yeah.
Best signing.
Worst signing.
Well,
Figueiredo.
I won't give it everywhere because he's on loan. Figs.
No, I wasn't even thinking everywhere. I was thinking Salah because he never even played.
Yeah, but again, a loan.
And that's literally a waste of time.
Yeah. Whereas Figs was meant to be a permanent signing that, you know, was meant to be here beyond the 1 year. And
I'm going to say Salah because it's too obvious to say Figueiredo and correct to say Figueiredo.
I'd go Figueiredo because even though Salah or Ebue or whatever didn't do very well or didn't play very much. Figueiredo did the most to, you know, pile more misery on us by being rubbish and conceding goals. So I think it has to be him, whereas Ebue never dived in the box because his goalkeeper came for the ball. You know, he, at least he's done that or not done that, whereas Figueiredo did. So I think he's definitely got to be the worst signing. I mean, maybe he'll you know, have a great preseason and have some good preseason friendlies and, you know, be part of a 46 clean sheet back four next year. But I doubt it, honestly. I think that's fairly unlikely. So generally, I guess this is our opportunity to have our final thoughts on a season with three managers, 21 signings, and perhaps a slightly disappointing 15th place finish. So we'll sum it up in a few paragraphs, perhaps. General thoughts on this season.
Screw you.
Or about 20 minutes.
I was disappointed, obviously, up until with our shot I went, and it was just chaos. And I was delighted once Rossini came in, and I think we're in such a good position going forward that it's such a promising beginning to something, it feels like, this season. It feels like the beginning of something.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this year was definitely a year of transition from sort of the Alam period. Last season, because it was just half an Agen season, half an Alam season.
No, this was the first proper season that felt like a new...
Yeah. And we said it was going to be slow, that the team was going to do fairly poorly to begin with, and it did. We had to have a change of manager, but generally, the club is in a better position now than it was. We had to sign these players. We had to experiment. And, you know, the attendances are going up. We've got a manager we all love and, you know, seems to have a really bright future ahead of him and hopefully with us. Some good players going into next season and, you know, stayed up.
It was the perfect appointment as well. I think when you look back at it, even now with hindsight, considering the disorganised, chaotic, rolling over every game team that we saw at the under Schotter, we needed somebody that could come in and, like this phrase is used all the time, but steady the ship. I think Dawson did very good in bringing some form of happiness back to the side by winning a couple of games as well. And then he gave Rossini the perfect platform to walk in. And he really just, you know, showed us up. Because I think I remember saying to anybody that asked about, you know, what Rossini had to do when he came in, and it was stop us conceding goals. We were conceding two or three a game. And that's relegation form. And when asked, how do you stop that? I had no idea. But Rossini came in and did that. Considering it's his first, like, actual full-time, because I think the Derby, obviously, he was only there for three or four months, wasn't he, before one.
Yeah, he wasn't there long.
So he wasn't there long. I'm going to consider us as his first proper job, where, you know, he's been given the reins, actually appointed. He's done very well. And I think he's showing that he's got the hunger to succeed, to adapt. He's a perfectionist, speaks well, very good man management. Trusts youth players, demands a certain level of consistency. And I think that next season, like we say, with full pre-season and some of his signings, I think this system will come good. I think that, you know, there's always going to be people who don't like the playing out from the back. But like you said, you've got to be patient with it because these players are learning it again under him. We got better at it, I think, as the season went on. We definitely controlled games a bit better possession-wise. Next year, I think, will be a totally different animal. And I think... it's nice to have to be excited about the future, to have optimism, to actually think, you know what, we could do really well next season, rather than just predicting, like, you know, the lower echelons of the league. We should be up there now thinking that we could be a top 10 side at least. So yeah, very exciting. Let's see what happens in summer.
Yeah, I couldn't have summed it up better myself. I think that was very well put. So yeah, another hectic season at Hull City. Lots happened, but generally, yeah, a positive one. Not perfect, but we are in a better position now than we were around this time last year, I'd say. And yeah, I think Rossini is probably the biggest positive to come out of this year. So yeah, thanks very much to everyone who's listened and commented and retweeted and engaged with us over the course of the season. But lots more to do over the summer. We're going to do a few more episodes, and perhaps we'll do, or I could do upon every single transfer rumor we do. I could do a little breakdown of that, perhaps. I think that would be quite enjoyable. But of course, if you ever have any ideas of what you want to see over the summer, do get in touch with us. And do you want to explain better what this Goals TV stuff is about? Because I'm still not 100% sure.
It's just it's basically a sports content site, so it's full of podcasters, sports channels. It's obviously based in America, so football is growing in America. There's more and more people getting into the sport. You know, the I think in terms of what they call soccer, which we will never refer to it as, is getting to a point where they are wanting to push it a bit more. So they want English content creators like ourselves on there, which we've come on. And I think we saw a graphic not that long ago where we're actually the most searched for football team in one of the states in America. So now we're on that site too. So hopefully they're watching us in America. If you are, hello.
It's New Mexico.
Yeah. So there's a lot of English fans that like American football. If you follow basketball, hockey, there are content creators all over the site that cover those other sports too. So you can just, like I say, you can use our code THAB, you sign up for free, you can watch it all. You can see us on there if you want to. And you support us as a channel in doing so, and you support Goals and help the sport grow over there. So, yeah, join the site. It's worth it. It's free, like you say. You've got nothing to lose.
Awesome. And, yeah, use the code THAB for to Hunnenback to sign up for free. So, yeah, thanks again for everyone for listening and commenting, and we'll be back very soon. So thanks again. And have a lovely summer if you don't listen to us over the summer. So thanks again.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.